didn't come to adjust to the environment. He came to create the environment. God is telling you in 2008, you shall become the change agent. In your job, in your business, in your school, in your university, in your home, you shall become the one that brings change. Shout amen, somebody. You are not here to accommodate. You are here to infiltrate. You are yeast. You know, yeast is useless when it's together with other yeast. Come on, ladies, talk to me now. We will bake bread and so forth. The yeast in the package is useless. It is only activated when it goes into the dough out there.
Hallelujah.
This week, we're going to yeast your yeast. Every session will put more yeast in you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And then next week, spit you out into the dough, and Australia will never be the same because of Influence 2008. Shout amen, somebody. I received 19 invitations for this 1 week to go to places. And I chose to come here because I like the spirit of that man. He believes in not preparing you to go to heaven, but preparing you to take over the community and impact the nation. It's about yeast in the name of Jesus. Shout amen, Paradise Community. So we're here to bring his kingdom influence. What is a kingdom? Here's my definition I gave you this morning. Write it down again. A kingdom is the sovereign rulership and governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his will, his purpose, and his intent, producing a community of citizens that literally express and reflect the king's nature and culture and morality and values and lifestyle in that community. In other words, a kingdom is not a religion, it's a government impacting a domain, producing a citizenship that looks just like the king. You know, it's amazing, in the Bahamas, when we were colonized by the British, we began to look just like the British. We wear neckties and 90 degrees. We spoke the king's English. And we drank tea 4 times a day in 90 degrees Fahrenheit. And we drive on the left-hand side of the street. And we studied every king of England in school. We memorized every one of Henry VIII's wives, even the ones he killed. We memorized every play of Macbeth, Shakespeare. We studied everything. Why? Because when a kingdom colonizes you, its lifestyle becomes your lifestyle. So in the Bahamas, we know nothing about Africa. All we know about is England. That's how kingdoms colonize. They take away your history and give you a new one. When you come into the kingdom of God, God takes away your history of sin and degradation and abuse and depression and sickness and fear. And he gives you heaven's wonderful history of salvation and peace and joy and love and long-suffering and goodness and kindness. And you become a son of the living God. Give God a praise if you are in the kingdom of God tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like running for 5 seconds here. The kingdom, therefore, doesn't have members. It has citizens. Paul says your citizenship is in heaven, even though you are living on earth. You know me, I'm from the Bahamas, where God lives. And, you know, even though I'm in the Bahamas, I mean from the Bahamas, I am in Australia. But I am still a Bahamian. My location does not change my disposition. I am a citizen of the Bahamas, but I am in Australia. So I am in Australia, but not of Australia. So when Paul says, hey, your citizenship is not from earth, it's in heaven. Even though you are here, your official papers are in heaven.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
I mean to mention this coming Friday, we're going to have a special prayer, corporate prayer meeting. Usually on Friday we have all come together to pray, but this time we want to focus our prayer on our veterans. So this Friday, will you please mark your schedule at 6 p.m. make plan to be here as we celebrate those who invest their life, their energy to defend our country. Also, please permit me to mention this coming Sunday, your pastor has been invited to minister at our sister church, Second Union Baptist Church. We will come to church here like we normally do at 8, 9:30, and 11. But those of you that want to hang out with me, or you want to have a double portion of blessing for that day, will you please join me 3 p.m. after church that day to go to Second Union Baptist Church? I believe this choir will be joining me also. Amen. Please permit me to mention also, on November 17, we have a movie night. That means at our movie theater, many of you don't even know your church have a movie theater. Bless your heart. Right next door, there's a big movie theater that God bless you with. And on the 17th, we're going to show a movie called The Case for Christ. So it's going to be at 7:20 p.m. Admission is free. Thanks to our movie theater ministry. I remember the days when there used to be a handful of people that goes to watch movies right next door, but now they're having a full house. So that's credit to those people working that ministry. So we're grateful for your faithfulness. Also, mark your calendar. We will have a Thanksgiving service on the Thanksgiving Day, November 23, at 10 a.m. We always do that every year. We're not too busy eating and having fun that we don't find time to come to the house of God and say, Lord, thank you. Maybe I can get Pastor Millicent Rubin to sing a solo again. That kind of caught me by surprise today. But God is good. God works in mysterious ways. Finally, please mark your calendar. December the 2nd, we are having what we call Christmas Gala. Basically, we come together and just have a good time. I am grateful for every one of you that's been helping us to have fellowship. Like, I know there's one family from Maxfield and that cook for all of us every fourth Saturday. Fellowship is important. You need to come together, get to know people, get to network with other people. So this year, December the 2nd, we're going to have this gala event. They call it Winter Gala. And we just encourage you, get your ticket in advance, invite your significant other. So we all come together and have a good time. I'll be there, amen, and dressed up. We take pictures. We have a live music, amen, and we dance and we eat, and only God knows what else we're going to do. But it's all clean and fun, amen? All minds clear? Please permit me to mention to all of you who are visiting with us for the first time, our softball team and any other guest in the house, not only do I appreciate you, but we have a gift for you. After church today, right there in the lobby, if you would just go to the section called Guest Center, this church have a gift for each and every one of you. That's our way of saying thank you for taking out of your busy schedule to join us in our worship experience. I don't know what they're going to give you now. That's not my department. They might give you a softball. Mm-hmm. They might give you a flying saucer. I don't control that. Sometimes just never, that's a whole ministry in this church. But we are grateful. We just want to say thank you for taking out of your busy schedule. Amen? Amen. All minds clear? All right, let's hear from the word of God. I have so much to say today, I probably won't finish. But, I'll come back 9:30 or something. Oh, well, 11 o'clock, I don't know. Everybody, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Thanks to all of our pastors. We appreciate your ministry. All of you who are leading our church school, our learning center, media center, all kinds of ministry in this church. Thank you for being at your post and making things happen for our church. We are grateful. The book is Revelation. The chapter is 3, verse number 7. Just one verse, but there's so much in one verse. It's amazing. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible says, "And to the angel of the church," where? "In Philadelphia, write these things. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man can shut down." And it's the same E, when it's shut down, no man can open it. Remain standing as we pray. Our Father and our God, we are grateful for your word. Even as I pray, you're still speaking to me concerning this verse. Holy Spirit, help me to explain your word. People didn't come here today for show or for fashion. People didn't come here today for to hear from God. Have your way in this place. Speak to our heart. Touch us in a very special way. Heal and deliver. Save us and sanctify us today. We shall be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the church say, amen. You may be seated. I started a series of teaching last Sunday, and I titled it, God of My Dry Seasons. Today I'm continuing the same series of teachings, and today our subject is titled, God of My Open Doors. I want the focus to be on God. Ladies and gentlemen, the passage I just read to your hearing is a letter. Please permit me to say up front that whenever you're writing a letter, there's usually a format to writing. I know we are now in high-tech age and everybody got their own iPad, iPod, any other pod. Cell phone, we got all these gadgets. Many of us have lost the art of writing letters. It's very unfortunate. But letter writing is a very good thing. And typically, you can customize your letter the way you want to, but there are basic format to writing a letter. Number one, you have to identify who is writing the letter. And number two, you have to identify to whom you're writing the letter. Am I right so far? And number three, the letter usually contains a message. I want us to look at the passage we just read from that standpoint. In case you don't know, it was a letter written by Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, when God is writing a letter, I want to read it. Amen. This letter was written to the church at Philadelphia. By the way, just in case you don't know, Philadelphia is not the Philadelphia USA. This Philadelphia was located 30 miles of Sardis. This Philadelphia was known as a commercial city. It was known as a trade route. It's a route for doing trade and commerce in that generation. It was also known to be a place that frequently have earthquakes. This is the city where a small church is located. That city, a pagan city, a commercial city, a city that is troubled by earthquake, right in it is a small church. And Jesus is now writing a letter to that church. Ladies and gentlemen, I can stop here and preach. That's why I said this one verse has so much. When was the last time Jesus wrote a letter to your church? Yes, we have churches in every corner. But they never receive a letter from the Lord. Please permit me to also point out, because my gift is being able to search into details. Permit me to mention that the letter was written to the church in Philadelphia, but it was written through the angel of that church. Ladies and gentlemen, the term angel of the church means the pastor of the church. There's a lesson there, because many of you always come to the pastor and say, the Lord told me to tell you. There's no such thing. Whenever Jesus gets ready to speak to his church, he has an angel in that church. That is why many times, because I'm learning, the older I get, the better I'm learning to be nice. So I just smile and say, thank you very much. That's my way of saying you are, you. It just goes to 5:13. Take note, Jesus will typically communicate with the church through its leadership. That's proper protocol. So just because you heard something, that doesn't mean you heard from God. So stop practicing witchcraft. All right? Try to help somebody. To the church in Philadelphia. But notice the Bible said, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Right. So please understand how God operates. If God shares something with you that cannot be confirmed in the spirit of the leadership, that's you just making things up, your good idea. Let me point out more things from this one verse. Please take note, there are three parts of the letter by Jesus Christ. Number one, he introduced himself. That's how we write letters at times. Just about every week, I'm writing a letter of recommendation or commendation in this church. Somebody's in there trying to go to school. Somebody's trying to get a job. Somebody's trying to get out of jail. I mean, I'm constantly writing. And the first thing I will have to do in my letter is to say, I'm writing this letter on behalf of John Doe. My name is Joshua John Dara. And I am blank, 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 blank. Because I want the person reading that letter to know I'm not just an ordinary person. So you want to tell your reader, who is he that is writing? Sometimes I will throw in there all my credentials so that he have to read that letter. It's a dangerous thing if you're writing and you nobody. Nobody wants to hear from nobody. That's just the truth. So the first thing Jesus did is to tell the reader who he is. You need to know who's writing this letter. And then the second thing, then he tell them the message or the content of the letter. You don't start with the content. You don't say, I'm writing a letter of recommendation on behalf of John Doe. They want to know, who are you? Yes, I'm the senior pastor. Yes, I'm a practicing attorney at law. Yes, I have a doctorate. By the time you spell out who you are, that they decide if they're going to read the rest of the letter. So Jesus started writing. Jesus said, I am he who is holy. The writer of this letter is he who is true. He hasn't said anything about his message. He said, I am he that is holy. I am he that is true. And in case you don't know, I got the keys. That's how you write. With credibility. Now somebody now going to pay attention. By the way, permit me to explain. What does he mean when he said, I am he that is holy? To be holy means that you are set apart. It means you are unique.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It means you are special. It means you are one of a kind. Jesus is saying the writer of this letter is holy.
Yes, sir.
He is special. He's one of a kind. This is not just nobody writing this letter. To be holy means it's not someone you can put in any class with anybody else.
Yes, sir.
You all understand what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Let me break it down further. You know, in my house, see, don't roll your eye at me. I'm just trying to help somebody. You see, in my house, I'm free, you know. In my house, my lovely wife, Elizabeth, have three categories of bitches. That's the truth. There are dirty dishes. Oh, Lord. Let me put it in plain English. There are some dishes that are in the sink. Am I telling the truth? Then there are some dishes that are in the kitchen. But there are some dishes that are in the den. I'm trying to explain to you what it means to be holy. You see, the dishes that are in the sink, they're dirty. Mm-hmm. I don't go near that. Amen, somebody. Now, the dishes that are in the kitchen, those are the ones we use to serve meal, every meal. They are common dishes. But there are some dishes that are in the den. They have a room of their own. They're in a glass case. The same thing, the makeup of the church. There are some dirty dishes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to preach this. There are some common dishes, but there are some dishes that are set apart. I wonder what kind of dish are you? Are you a dirty dish? Common dishes? Are you set apart? You say, Brother Pastor, where in the world do you always get this kind of thing? I'm just trying to explain it. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, he said, in a big house, there are many vessels. There are vessels of gold. There are vessels of silver. There are vessels of wood. There are vessels of clay. He said, he continued to write, if any man, any woman will purge himself, will purge herself, he will be a vessel that is fit for master's use. What am I trying to tell you? In a church setting, there are different levels of holiness. And I just pray that you will aspire every day to be a clean vessel, to be a man, a woman that is set apart. It's a journey to be in a class of your own. You see, a clean dish is not in the same class as a common dish. It's not in the same class as a dirty dish. God wants to use you. God wants you to be set apart. So when Jesus is writing this letter, he is telling the reader, this is not any kind of joker writing. He said, I am he that is holy. Hallelujah. He is saying, don't make me one of the gods you know. Don't look at me just as a good rabbi. Don't talk about me as if I'm just a good person or I'm a great prophet. Jesus is saying, no, I am more than all of that.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, I am he that is holy.
Yes, sir.
You're going to read this letter.
Yes,
then he goes on to say, that verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. He said, not only am I holy, you need to know I'm true. What does it mean to be true? Ladies and gentlemen, to be true means that he is the ultimate reality. Anything else that contradicts the truth is fake. Are you still here? Anything else that contradicts the truth is a lie, is false. And that cannot be trusted. So Jesus is saying, and you hear him say the same thing in St. John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, hey, ladies and gentlemen, hear me out. He always boasts about his credential. When you earn it, you have the right to boast about it. Some people got their PhD, they just bought it on the internet. But when you earn what you got, then you can walk with your head up. Because nobody was there when you stayed up all night. No one was there when he was praying in the garden. No one was there when he was whooped and beaten up, blood all over the place. He has every right to say, I'm not just a joker writing a letter. I am he that is true. So if you want to know anything about the truth, you see in that scripture, he was in John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, in case you don't know, I'm the way. I am the truth. I am, that's right, I'm life. He is not bragging. When you earn it, you better let the world know it's yours. He said, nobody can get to the Father except by me. So he hasn't even discussed the letter. But he's establishing his credential. So everything else should be measured by its consistency or compatibility to Jesus Christ. And if it's inconsistent to Jesus, if it's not compatible to Jesus, then it's fake news. By the way, in case you miss a choir, I've just introduced and explained what you'll be singing when you say, all the other gods, they are the works of man. You see, that's, you got to know that you got the truth. I don't go around trying and say, well, maybe I know him. Maybe I don't. Maybe you know that God. And when you know that you know that you know, then you can walk into any room and say, I got the real deal, baby. He is the way. He is the truth. He is life. Ain't nobody can make it to heaven without Jesus. I rest my case. Jesus is introduced himself. He said, I am the truth. Then he goes on to say, not only am I holy, not only am I true, he said, you need to know something else about me before you read my letter. I got the key. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but whoever got the key, he got real power. Please take note, and I said I can finish. I see so much in this one verse, it blows my mind. He did not say he got any kind of keys. He said, I got the key of David. That's a whole sermon by itself. What is the key of David? The key of David, ladies and gentlemen, is praise. Yes, sir. David's signature to the body of Christ. It's not so much that he was a shepherd boy. It's not so much that he was a great army. It's not so much that he was the king of Israel. The real deal about David, he was a man after God's heart. He loved to praise God. That is why David wrote in Psalms 34, verse number 1. He said, I will bless the Lord how many times? At all times. He said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I wonder what's in your mouth. David didn't say, look at the crown on my head. He didn't say, look at the size of my robe. He said, his praise will continually be in my mouth. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, what's in your mouth this morning? Somebody all over the building, come on, bless the Lord. Just give God some 30 seconds of praise. Just thank him for a good day. Bless the Lord in this place. Bless the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Am I right about it? He's an awesome God. Am I right about it? He's a glorious God. Am I right about it? He's a marvelous God. Am I right about it? I don't care what the world have to say about it. Our God is a good God. God has been good to you. God has been good to me. Somebody, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. Somebody shout, thank you, Lord. Open your mouth, shout, thank you, Lord. The key of David is praise. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for a good day. Somebody ought to tell the Lord, thank you. Somebody ought to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know about you. I've got so much to be thankful for. I don't know about you. I've got a right to praise the Lord. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Why don't you open your mouth and tell the Lord, thank you. Open your mouth, tell the Lord, thank you. He healed my body, thank you. He saved my soul, thank you. He kept my mind, thank you. He made a way, thank you. I have a witness. Open your mouth, shout, thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. He healed my body, thank you. He blessed my children, thank you. He made a way out of nowhere, thank you. Oh, you owe him some praise. You owe him some praise. Say thank you. You owe God some praise this morning. Open your mouth. Let his praise fill your mouth. Say, Lord, I thank you. That's the key of David. Say, Lord, I thank you. You owe him some praise this morning. He healed your body. Thank you. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his grace. Open your mouth, say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I could have died in my sin. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I could have lost my mind. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I could have gone the wrong way. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For waking me up this morning. Oh Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Open your mouth, say thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the favor. Thank you for your grace. Somebody shout, thank you. Thank you for not leaving me in my mess. Thank you for not leaving me in my sin. Thank you for not leaving me to myself. Open your mouth, say, Lord, thank you. I don't know about you, I got a right to praise him. I don't know what you come to do, but I got a right to praise him. You got to have a thank you in your spirit. You got to have a thank you in your soul. Have you ever gone to a meeting, everybody looking dignified, and something on the inside, you just have a quick flashback. You don't even know how you got to the table. You know you could have been left out of the whole deal, but God in his grace and mercy, he brought you to the table. And while everybody's looking sophisticated, while everybody's looking dignified, you say, you start praising the Lord. And because God has been good, open your mouth and say, thank you. Tell your neighbor and say, neighbor, excuse me, I'm fixing to praise the Lord. Say, neighbor, I don't mean to get on your nerves. I got something to shout about. Then open your mouth and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my finance. Thank you for my clothes. Thank you for my business. Thank you. Somebody praise him this morning. God, listen, church. Let me say this thing with conviction. The Bible says, Jesus, I've not even talked about his letter. He's just introducing his credential. And he said, I got the keys. By the way, he's not talking about any key. He's talking about the key of David. He's not just talking about I got keys. There's no S in what he said. He is talking about he got the key. When you got the key, you got the master key. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I get time to talk about this. You see, in this church, there are many keys. Did you all know that? There are more than 100 keys in this church. But your pastor got one key. What your pastor got is called the master key. What about the master key? Oh, my Lord, Jesus. When Jesus said he got the master key, it means he got a key that can open any door. I don't know what you're working on. I don't know what you're believing God for. But I stop by to tell you, God is a God of your open door. He got the key to open any door for you. Whatever door has been closed in your face, God can open that door for you. Door for your good health. Door for your good blessing. God, door for your miracle. When you have the master key, you can open any door. Let me tell you something else about the door, about the key. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he is in the Bible signifying access. Somebody shout access. Say that again. He is also signified authority. Somebody shout authority. When I come to you this morning and say God is a God of open doors, what I'm trying to suggest to you is that God have access to every question, every need in your life, in my life. God has authority. Hallelujah. By the way, when you hang around somebody who have the master key, then you don't have to worry about any other person. Part of the problem in the body of Christ today, some of you think of some people, because they are rich, you think they're in control. They got a key, but they don't have the master key. Some of you think people who are in government. I always tell my children, I say, watch me how I deal with them. You know why I deal with them with my head up? Because I know they got a key, but they don't have the master key. Your employer will control your future. If you ever get a revelation that God is your source, that's why David said, I will look to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help don't come from nobody. That's why I always tell you in this church, you don't have to kiss up to nobody. You don't have to join no clique. You are original. You are an original of your. You are original. I got to stop. Sit down. Let me say this. How does God open door? I will say this and let you go. Because my boss lady is telling me, hurry up and shut up. That's Pastor Kofi. She is the timekeeper. She get on my case. Let me show you how God does this. Have you ever heard the story of the parable of the talents? Grab this quickly. I preach it 9:30. See, God gave talents to everybody. There's none of you here that God has not opened some door for. Shout amen about that. That means nobody can look down on you. You know, the Lord set me free one day, say, son of man, he said, you read about great men and women. I commend you for that. He said, but let me tell you about something about all of them. I said, talk, Lord. He said, they all got two eyes. They all got one nose. They all got one mouth. They all got two ears. They all got two feet. And I'm saying, what is the Lord up to? He said, everything they got, you got. You know why I'm telling you that story? Because you need to know you serve a God of open door. You need to know you serve a God of possibilities. There is absolutely nothing that you want to do that you need to do if you put your heart in it. All the great people that you're reading about, all the great heroes of faith, they all got the same two eyes. You never met any of them with five eyes. You would never met any great man, great woman with four ears. They got the same thing you got. So if you want to make it, God has already opened the door. I'll tell you something else. Hallelujah. Churches, out of limited understanding, they always talk about the parable of talents. But not only did God give talents, the talents he gave you, the talents he gave me is opportunity. Don't just look at that passage as a passage of talent. He gave five, he gave two, he gave one. No. Talent also means opportunity. You will never hear many preachers preach about that. And let me also warn you, opportunity may be given to you and you don't even see it. And if you're not careful, you will be distracted. You'll be worrying about the inequality of the talents. Who got three? Who got two? Why did I get one? Why did he get five? Why did he get... And you will miss opportunity. Let me tell you something about open door. When God opened doors and he created opportunity for you and me, opportunity would never come to you and say, hello, my name is opportunity. You have to have the perception to recognize opportunity. When the door is swinging wide open, you got to be able to see it in your spirit and step out of the boat while everybody's still nagging and murmuring and complaining and talking about what ain't right, what they didn't do, who said what. That's what the Bible is talking about. When he said in Philippians 3:14, I can do all things through Christ. He strengthens me. When he wakes you up this morning, opportunity. When he clothes you in your right mind, opportunity. I may not have the same amount of talents that you got. Ain't no shame in my game. I can sing like Minister Shirley. I can sing like Gay Washington. But oh, but I thank God for what he gave me. The question is, what are you going to do with what you got? God is opening doors. Oh, I'm 2 minutes late. Let me say one more thing. Somebody shout one more thing. Okay. Somebody shout one more thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just trying to tell people about God. Sometimes God will open doors and it comes in the form of opposition. Are you listening to me? He will create an opportunity, but opportunity will show up in the form of opposition. Oh, I wish I can tell you sometimes my story. This church is what it is today because when I first came, I ran into opposition. You got to be able to see opposition in your life as opportunity. Now, you may see it in a big coat jacket like this. It looks like opposition. But if you look under the jacket, opportunity is hiding there. That is why somebody say, I thank God for my mountain. Think about it. Why will anybody be thanking God for their mountain? He said, I thank God for every storm. Some of you call it sickness, but it's opportunity. Some of you call it divorce, but it's opportunity. Sometimes you got to write a nice letter to the man that dump you and say thank you for the opportunity. That's why the Bible says in everything give thanks. Keep reading. It says this is the will of God concerning you. Ladies and gentlemen, if I were you today, I will use what I got. When you use what you got, I wish I had more time, then God will give you more. And don't get mad at God that he gave somebody five and he gave you two. He has made an assessment. He will not give you more than you can handle. He already assessed your ability. But if you will learn to be faithful with what he gave you, then he will give you much more. God is not going to give a five to a man or woman who is made for two. That would be a waste. And God don't want to waste anything. So wherever you are right now in your walk of life, I will say, remember the word of Jesus Christ. What he gave you, don't worry about who is talking about you. Don't worry about who is rolling their eyes. Don't worry about who made a comment on Facebook. Don't worry about what they tweet about. You say, ask me why. Jesus said, when he opened the door, no man can close it. For every door that he has opened in your life, go home, go to bed, sleep like a baby. If God be for you, nobody can be against you. He said, when I close the door. So stop worrying about who is trying to take your job. If God gave you that job, no devil can take it from you. Stop worrying about who is trying to take your husband. If God bless you with that man, ain't no devil can take what God has given you. Don't worry about your business. What God has started in you, he's able. God is able to finish whatever he started. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is Alpha and Omega. I got the story. I saw the preacher up. Everybody stand up. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering. Come on. Give the Lord God a clap offering. Amen, somebody. Don't run from your opposition. Don't run from your problem. You look through the rubbles and you will find opportunity. Look through the rubble. There are pearls. You may have to dig through the dirt, but there are pearls hidden in the rubble. Hold your head up. God is faithful. When he opened doors for you, and nobody can close them. I want to pray with you for open doors. I don't know what you believe in God for this morning, but I want you to know you serve a God who have the master key. And all you need to do this morning, when you get home, you read the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 through 19. He said he gave the church keys. But he still have the master key. That's God's way of saying he wants to share his authority with you. And some of you are in business, you understand this about banking. There are deposits saved in the bank. They will give you a key, just like Jesus gave you the keys to the kingdom. But Jesus has the master key. The bank will give you a key, but the bank keeps the master key. And when you come, if you don't believe me, talk to your bankers in the house. Sister Queen, all those people, Sister Angela, they will tell you what I'm saying. I'm just taking you using natural things to explain deep things of God. So you have to have the right key to open that safe. And even if you have the right key, then the bank will double lock behind you. So you opening the bank opening, you closing the bank closing. Jesus have the master key to open doors for you.